Past 8 o'clock on a Friday morning, and once again it's a warm welcome to Lindy Elms. She's Wildlife Rescue 101 in Ballito. Your go-to whenever you find or hear of or come across an injured creature or an orphaned creature, any wild animal that needs assistance. And Lindy, of course, she has a long history of caring in this area, and has now joined forces with CROW, which is a long-established centre for the rehabilitation of wildlife. So welcome to you. It's lovely to have you on the show again.
Morning, Dave, and morning to everybody out there.
And we had a fantastic conversation with, I can't remember her name, the lovely French lady.
Stephanie.
About the issue around the vervet monkey populations in, and I say populations because each of the troops is, well, they are sort of extended family groups. They don't intermingle unless there's a problem, and they don't leave their territory much because that's an old, sort of historically centered, well, it's their home. And we've moved into Ballito and environs, and we've kind of disturbed the natural order of things to a degree. Many people have done wonders with planting of indigenous plants and food, trees, and you know, the monkeys live in harmony. Other people feel that monkeys are a problem and need to be dealt with harshly. And Stephanie was able to give some very, very interesting insight into the facts. And the facts are that the monkey population is not out of control. In fact, quite the contrary. There's huge predation of baby monkeys by either fair means or foul. You know, the nature is as it is, and everything is in the food chain in nature to a degree. So you have predation from wild animals, and particularly the big raptors. Then there's cars, and there's dogs, and then there are people. And I say that with this particular, you know, I want to be angry and trying to control my anger when I see the cruelty that some people inflict on wild creatures. There was a case last week in circulation of a monkey, a large adult male, beautiful specimen, and probably a very high-ranking member of that particular troop that was shot by one of our wonderful Ballito residents in Adrian Road in Ballito. And I was very interested to see what there was an absolute outpouring from the community of sorrow and sadness and shame. You know, that in this modern age where we are so, the environment is so under pressure. Every creature on the planet is under pressure, largely because of us. You know, we are the biggest problem. And we, I don't want to dominate the conversation because it's your show, but I'm just trying to set the scene. You know, we had people querying about, whoa, is the new Club Med not going to be a huge white elephant because who on earth is going to come to South Africa? Well, let me just tell you how that 2.2 billion rand build is going. Apparently, they've already got huge bookings and massive interest from particularly Europe, but other international people want to come to South Africa because the environment is still relatively as it is, and you can see creatures in their natural habitat. People come from up country and they come to Ballito and they see monkeys. Oh my God, look at this, it's amazing. And it is amazing, and we should protect and preserve the bird life, the fauna, the flora. Everything is precious. So I've done my little rant for the day. I'd love you to elaborate a bit more on what it is that we can do to protect creatures from the kind of heartless cruelty that they are often subject to. And this particular case has really got my goat, because I think we know who the shooter is. I'm not going to mention it on air because that would open us to a lawsuit. But I think who the shooter is, and I'm going to do in my own personal capacity what I can to expose or to hopefully educate this lovely fellow into a change of heart. So over to you now, Lindy. The situation is as you see it now with regard to the monkey situation. Under control, out of control, what is happening?
So Dave, firstly, to go back to the monkey that was shot on Sunday morning, 6:30 in the morning, I mean, to get up on a beautiful day and the first thing you do is shoot a magnificent monkey, definitely a high-ranking monkey, and he was killed. Really brave girl picked him up and brought him to me.
Apparently the monkey died screaming in her arms.
Yes, it was devastating. She was in an absolute state. Really amazing girl that she actually got out, picked up such a big monkey, brought it to me on her chest, and it had just passed when she got to me. But what people don't understand, to take out a high-ranking monkey like that from the troop, it causes havoc in the troop because the troop is now out of control, and now the monkeys are going to be all over the place, a little bit more frantic, and they're going to get blamed again for being out of control. But it's because the leader has been taken out of the troop. So on all levels, on every level, it is just so heartbreaking and just not okay to try and take any animal out in that manner. A lot of the shootings that we get a lot of shootings in Balito, and pellets generally wound the monkey, they don't kill them. And when I say wound, it's normally a spinal injury and they have to be euthanized. If we don't find them, they just suffer until they die with pellets in them. So it's a really big thing. It's a big concern. I have been following this for a long time.
And what makes a person feel that it is their right to take a firearm of any description, whether it's a pellet gun or an actual rifle or a handgun, and fire that in a built-up area? It's against the law, fella. It's illegal. You might be an accomplished exponent of whatever it is, the sport that you practice, and you might think it's your right to shoot one of God's creatures because you don't like the fact that it is in your garden. But that pellet could travel into some child's eye.
Exactly.
Or, create some other unforeseen situation that you, fella, would be entirely responsible for. And that is why it's illegal to fire a weapon in a built-up area. So, I know we live in a kind of lawless age at this point in time, but what does the average person, now presuming you're the neighbor of this wonderful character and you have suspicions and then you see an act like this being taken, what can you do to make sure that the law comes to play here?
So Dave, it's so difficult to try and prosecute because first you have to have a video of the shooting, you have to have the rifle, and you have to have the dead monkey with a pellet or bullet in it and marry the whole lot together. So
there is a burden of responsibility to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that that creature was shot by that fella.
Yes, but the other thing is, as you were saying, it's illegal to fire a gun in a built up area. So
yes, and a pellet gun qualifies, by the way.
It does. Don't get the idea that it's a toy. Yeah, it does qualify, but the fact that you can actually go to the weapons associate whatever that you can prosecute them for firing the weapon doesn't necessarily have to connect to an animal.
Yeah.
But the fact that the weapon's been fired in a built up area, they can be prosecuted with that. And I think, if I'm correct, it's a 5-year jail sentence or a massive amount of money. I'm not too sure of the figure, but the 5-year jail sentence, I think, is
correct. Should get a lawyer in on this one because it's interesting, because in this case, we kind of know because there is a very strong chain of circumstantial evidence leading to an individual living in Adrian Road, and we kind of know who he is. But that's just, one of those circumstantial things. So we say apparently and supposedly and allegedly and all of that because we don't have definitive proof. But as a community, if one has sufficient circumstantial evidence, is it appropriate, would you imagine, for one or two concerned neighbors to pop around and have a chat? And I'm not talking about vigilantism. I'm talking about education.
So the education would have to come from an authority, a law authority. Okay. Authority. So that would be Ezimvelo, which they are prepared to come out, but they're just really busy and don't always get the time when we need them urgently. So I'm sure, but it would have to be somebody that knows the law that would have to confront.
Yeah, but let's unpack the issue a little bit, because it's kind of emotive. There are those that believe the monkeys are an absolute scourge and should be dealt with extremely harshly. So they're, I think, incredibly happy when someone takes the law into their own hands and dispatches an animal as cruelly as this one. And what do you say to that?
Taking the law into their own hands?
Well, no, the people that don't like monkeys because they believe they are destructive, they kill the bird life in the nests, they ruin people's dinner tables and kitchens, and they steal, and then you get those that are convinced that the monkeys attack their kids and their dogs and them. They attack. They are vicious, and they carry rabies, and they should be dealt with like flies.
I have no understanding how people cannot see the magnificence of any creature, but especially the monkeys. And there's many ways to prevent them from coming in. There's monkey screens. Close your doors for a few minutes. Stop feeding. Stop leaving fruit bowls out.
Do they attack people?
There have been cases, but it's normally food related. If they're trying to grab something, they wouldn't run after you and bite you.
They don't attack kids.
Well, I've heard of one of two cases that a kid has been bitten, but it's again been food related. So the monkey's actually going for the food. They're not running up to bite.
So they don't try and hunt you down.
No, definitely not.
And persecute you because they feel that they
they don't like you.
Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
Let's unpack the objections. The monkeys attack people. They don't. It's not part of their DNA.
And they don't steal. They forage. So if they're opportunists. So if there is some food lying around, they'll come and take the food because it's there in their view and they think it's for them.
Yeah.
But they don't steal your cell phone or items. They don't steal. They forage.
And do they carry rabies?
They have no cases in South Africa of a monkey having rabies. It doesn't mean that it can't happen at some stage, but there has been no reports of monkeys carrying rabies in South Africa at this stage.
Okay, what other objections are there to the monkeys? They make a mess.
They make a mess, but then if you're going out, close your windows and they don't get in. And if you're at home, generally you can chase them out, but normally people leaving windows open, going out for the day, one of the members of the troop gets in and they all come in because it's safe. There's nobody there. So just close up if you're going out.
So having unpacked the myths around the monkey populations, they are not out of control in terms of numbers. In fact, quite the contrary, they're shrinking. They're under enormous pressure. Luckily, there is sufficient food in the wild still, even though we have decimated it, to support the population. So they're not starving. They are foragers. They don't come in and just because they think they're going to have a look-see mess all over your furniture just because they want to be naughty. That's entirely, it's a wild creature's instinct to forage. You leave food out there. My friend, it's your problem because you're in fact creating a situation that now you're blaming the monkeys on. Do they carry rabies? No, they don't. So what on earth, why would you then want to destroy a life like that?
I have absolutely no understanding for because I've got such a passion for them. And I get people saying they've got a troublesome monkey. Can I please come and remove it? Firstly, no, I can't, because what must I do with a troublesome monkey? And I always go and assess the situation, and he really isn't troublesome. If they sense fear, they'll challenge you, as Stephanie explained to us last week or the week before. But I mean, I stand with them, I sit with them, I mingle with them, and they ignore me because I have no fear of them. I respect them, but I have no fear of them. And they definitely pick up if you back off, if you shout. They're going to react to that. And they'll challenge you, but they're not going to run up and bite you. Mm-hmm. And if you grab their baby, then that's another story. Or if you've got food, they will maybe come to you for that, but...
Yeah, invariably it's like anything in the wild. If you threaten it, if you corner it, if you try and behave aggressively to it, it will defend itself. That's the way of the wild. That's what happens.
So
people
do we.
People are worse.
We do the same.
Exactly. So here it is. A little bit of understanding. That's really what it takes. And for those that enjoy killing things, well, you have no place in a modern sentient society, a society that cares. Kindness is worth much more than gold, silver, and diamonds in the world that we live in. And if you are one of those that decides you'll take the law into your own hand and deprive the world of a living creature because you feel like it, well, you know, karma is, as they say, a problem for you. And may karma rain down upon you and deliver for you what you sow, you know. You're going to reap for sure. But in a community like ours, where the eyes and the ears of the community are upon you, you take this situation into your own hands and you do what you do. I just want to mention to you the fact that we kind of know who you are, and we will definitely find a way to repay your kindness. Whether it is kindness, you know, you'll be blessed. And if it's cruelty and hatred, well, you bring it upon yourself, the consequences. Just on an upbeat note to end with, you have secured property and premises, because it's important that when you rescue a creature in distress, to get it into a rehab situation so that it can be released again, you need to secure it and keep it safe, etc., etc. And you can't do that in the middle of Belito, so you've found premises. Tell us about that.
Yes, so we have found premises. It's in Sharkers Rock, so it's right off the highway, very accessible. But the animals won't be taken to the premises because we don't want the public. It's not a public attraction, and animals will be compromised. So we have a depot. I'm a depot, and Jen from Flag Animal Farm is a depot for crow as well. We crow depots, and our volunteers will get the animals to us or to one of the vets. We'll pick up and take it to the facility. And so we'll be setting up there shortly.
And you need a little bit of help in that regard. So if you, listening to this, would like to help Lindy in her quest, it's a quest of kindness and compassion, and I think it's a wonderful thing that you do, and I think we should all be involved in some way. If we can't physically be involved, then in terms of support, you need some cash to erect structures, you need possibly a donation of a structure to house a permanent member of staff there. And, you know, there are needs, folks. If you care and you would like to be involved, all you need to do is get hold of Lindy. She'll unpack what is required and how you can be of assistance. How did we reach you?
I'd be really grateful for any help. And as you said, donations of items and whatever we can is... We do need the finances, but right now we need the structures. So yeah, that would be amazing. So you can reach me on 083-607-4498.
And this will be up as a podcast, so you don't have to write the number down. You can just literally go onto our app or website, find the morning show, find the conversation with Lindy. Her photograph will be up so you can identify the spot. And then that information, that telephone number, etc., that will be available for you to listen to on demand and act accordingly. Lindy, thanks so much for what you're doing, and we'll catch up again in a week's time for more news from the wild rescue operation that you're running.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you so much.
And the morning show.